Davenport Blues, Alex Welsh Cornet and Fred Hunt Piano in 1966. Well, until the same time next week, it's goodbye from me, Alan Shipton. And now here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Jazz Lineup with Julian Joseph.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair. But her mummy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go.
The unmistakable voice of David Bowie. And stay tuned to hear singer Ian Shaw performing his take on Bowie's Life on Mars as part of our featured performance from the 2016 Gateshead Jazz Festival. He'll also tell us about working with Bowie and the humanitarian work he's been doing at the jungle in Calais, as well as performing tracks by Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell. Plus, Kevin Legendre is here for this month's Now's the Time, shining the spotlight on a classic album from recent times. Hi, Kevin. What have you unearthed from your archives for us this month?
Hi, Julian. We're going back to 1974, and it's Argentinian saxophonist Gato Barbieri's masterwork, Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata. It's a Latin jazz classic. Here's a taster.
Saxophonist Gato Barbieri, and more music from this album called Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata and Kevin, later on the program. Well, Bowie's connection with jazz has been the buzzword with the release of his Black Star album at the top of 2016 and just before his death. He had worked in the past with guitarist Pat Metheny, had a long-standing fascination with big band men Stan Kenton and Gil Evans, according to longtime collaborator and main producer Tony Visconti. Bowie also played saxophone and befriended the fine American tenor man Donnie McCaslin, and it was McCaslin's quartet that provided the canvas on which Bowie figuratively painted his last musical visions. McCaslin's band contains a pick of the contemporary musicians integral to the current incarnation of New York's underground music scene. Here's Donnie McCaslin with something from before that time in 2008, and this is The Champion. Yes, that was tenor saxophonist Donny McCaslin and The Champion from his excellent trio recording released on the trumpeter Dave Douglas's Greenleaf label called Recommended Tools. Donny's band today resembles much of the sound of Bowie's Black Star album, and we look forward to future projects featuring him and his band. British Shores now, and pianist Peter Edwards has been quietly plugging away in the background on the UK jazz circuit, having made the transition from student to teacher in bassist and educator Gary Crosby's Tomorrow's Warriors initiative. Peter was a nominee for the MOBO Awards, Music of Black Origin, Best Jazz Act in 2014, and was pipped at the post by vocalist Zara McFarlane, with whom he tours regularly. But Edwards has continued to develop his trio, who appeared recently on the BBC Introducing Stage at the 2015 Montreal Jazz Festival in Canada, and were also featured on Jamie Cullum's jazz show on BBC Radio 2 in April 2016. On this, his second album, he features two fine players who are also leaders and connected to a number of exciting bands on the UK jazz scene. The ubiquitous drummer Moses Boyd and founder member of the band Particle and his own group Orbital, Max Luther, is on bass. Together, the trio have a solid connection under Edwards' direction, whose writing commands an accessible flair which plays to their strengths. This is Samba City. Samba City from the Peter Edwards Trio, and the album is called A Matter of Instinct, and it's released on June 19th on his own Peter Edwards music label, which coincides with the album launch at the Peter Express Jazz Club in London. And Peter and the Trio will also play the Manchester Jazz Festival on the 28th of July and the Mau Mau Bar in London on the 4th of August. From samba-flavoured jazz to that inspired by pibroch, a musical form from the Highlands of Scotland, originally played on the Great Highland Bagpipe. On an album that features the vision of legendary bagpipe master Patrick Molar, Yannick Jory is featured on saxophone, Eric Daniel on guitar, Hélène Labarrière on a robust double bass, and Simon Goubert is on drums. This is Lament for the Little Supper. Lament for the Little Supper, from pibroch master Patrick Molar, featuring the saxophone of Yannick Jory, And the album Light and Shade is released on the Inner Core label, and that's out now. Well, stay tuned for a performance and interview from Ian Shaw later on the show. He'll be playing compositions ranging from Joni Mitchell to David Bowie and Leonard Cohen. Now, Leonard Cohen has been a great inspiration to many jazz artists, and the excellent Christine Tobin comes to mind, and her 2014 album solely dedicated to the music of Mr. Cohen. From that album, this is Tower of Song.
My friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming on. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long. 100 floors above me in the Tower of Song. I was born like this, I had no choice. I was born with the gift of a golden voice and 27 angels from the great beyond. They tied me to the table right here in the Tower of Song. So you can stick your little pins in that voodoo doll. I'm very sorry, baby, doesn't look like me at all. And I'm standing by the window where the light is strong. They don't let a man kill you, not in the Tower of Song. Well, you can say that I've grown bitter, but of this you may be sure. The rich have got their channels in the bedrooms of the poor, and there's a mighty judgment coming, but I may be wrong. You see, you hear these funny voices in the Tower of Song. I see you standing on the other side, and I don't know how the river got so wide. I loved you way back when. And all the bridges are burning that we might have crossed, and I feel so close to everything we've lost. We'll never have to lose it again. So I bid you farewell. I don't know when I'll be back. They're moving us tomorrow to the tower down the track. But you'll be hearing from me, baby, long, long after I'm gone. 'Cause I'll be singing to you sweetly from my window in the Tower of Song, in the Tower of Song. Thank you.
it again. So I bid you farewell. I don't know when I'll be back. They're moving us tomorrow to the tower down the track. But you'll be hearing from me, baby, long, long after I'm gone. 'Cause I'll be singing to you sweetly from my window in the Tower of Song. In the Tower of Song. Up on the top. Up on the Tower of Song.
Christine Tobin from her recording of Leonard Cohen's songs, A Thousand Kisses Deep. That was Tower of Song, and for fans of Miles Davis, did you recognise the motif that they use as the song concludes? Yes, they quote It's About That Time from Miles' 1969 album In a Silent Way. And some of you may have caught the Hollywood film directed by and starring Don Cheadle as the legendary and pioneering trumpeter, bandleader and musical icon. And remember, you can still listen to Christine Tobin's concert performance from the 2016 South Coast Jazz Festival that we featured on last week's show, as it is still available to download or catch via the BBC iPlayer. You're listening to the very best in jazz from the UK and beyond on Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, I'm still joined by Kevin Legendre, and later we'll be reassessing a classic album by saxophonist Gatto Barbieri. But Kevin, you've been getting out and about with Jazz Lineup over the past few months. Just a few weeks ago, you were in Aberdeen for our International Jazz Day celebrations, and in mid-April, you were hosting the Jazz Lineup stage at the Gateshead International Jazz Festival. We're going to hear a concert performance later by Ian Shaw and an interview you conducted with Ian, but by way of a preview, we're shortly going to hear a taster from that set. Tell us a bit about his set and the Jazz Lineup stage at Gateshead.
Well, the stage itself was really fantastic because it was at the concourse, which is the main sort of foyer area of the stage, which is this magnificent building. And you have to picture this very, very sunny afternoon on a Saturday, light flooding through these huge, great big windows. Lots of people with their families. There were lots of children and couples there. There was a really lovely atmosphere. And I think Ian completely commanded the crowd. He had a really, really great reception from the moment that he went in. His set was very well paced. It had just the right mixture of originals and covers, tunes that people know, Leonard Cohen, etc., Joni Mitchell, I think he did as well, and his original music as well, and also some very strong political statements that he made too. But the whole afternoon was, I think, a real success because the blend of music from Ian to Courtney Pine and Zoe Rahman to Pan Jumbi, this great Calypso jazz group from Leeds, to Northern Monkey Brass Band, who we finished with, that was a really rousing finale. It seemed to come together really nicely.
Well, let's have a listen. Here's Ian Shaw with a song ever associated with country music great Glen Campbell. This is the Jimmy Webb composition, Wichita Lineman.
How lovely. You're all very lovely. Look at that. You've this beautiful city behind you. I am a lineman for the county. And I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing through the wire. I can hear you through the wine. And the Wichita lineman, he's still on the line.
station, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita line man, he's still on the line. I am a line man for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the wine. And the Wichita line man, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita line man,
Ian Shaw with Wichita Line Man, and I'm still joined by Kevin Legendre, who has brought in one of his favourite albums for this month's Now's the Time, where we reassess an album of recent times. What's so special about this album, and why did you pick this one in particular, Kevin?
I mean, firstly, we have to state he died recently, and I think this is a fitting tribute. It's also probably the first serious Latin jazz album that I bought way back when. Somebody had said to me, you need to check this guy out, he's a great saxophonist, and he also uses these fantastic, really danceable Latin rhythms. And I bought the record, and I think first and foremost, I was listening for the rhythms. I was listening to how danceable this music was, because you've got these great arrangements by Chico O'Farrell, an arranger, conductor, who worked with the likes of Machito and Stan Kenton, these other band leaders. So it's a big band. It's a 17-piece orchestra playing on this record. That was the first thing. And then Gatto's saxophone playing, this lovely, rugged, rasping tone that he has, all of this energy that he gets from the horn, that was the thing that hit me as well. So it's a great dance record, and also it's a great performance by a tenor saxophone giant.
Great. Well, let's have a listen to the first track from the album Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata. This is Gatto Barbieri and La Podrida.
Thank you.
The joyful feeling of the mambo, and that is Gatto Barbieri and La Podrida from the classic album we're concentrating on today, Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata. Now that's a mouthful, right?
It is, but it's worth getting your chops around because it's such beautiful music.
Now, what's going on around the music here? Because I already alluded to the mambo rhythm that we felt there. So the arranging of Chico O'Farrell, it's a particular thing. He arranged for really great band leaders, as you already mentioned. But he had sort of gone out of fashion in a way.
Yeah, I think Gatto maybe brought him back into fashion. I think he was still rated by musicians. And for somebody like Gatto, who on this record, to put things into context, was moving more into explicit Latin American musical territory, because he started off more as an avant-garde player in the late 60s, playing with people like the trumpeter Don Cherry. He wanted somebody who could tap into that whole tradition of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker playing with the likes of Machita, and that's exactly what he got with this record.
So Chico O'Farrell, his primary influence is Cuban music, and in Cuban music they don't use the drum kit.
They don't use the drum kit, but here we have the great Grady Tate on drums, working very well with the great Ron Carter on bass. But you also have this, what I feel is a really, really important structural decision made by Chico, and that is to have a four-man percussion section led by the great Ray Mantilla. So if you listen carefully throughout all the tracks, you've got cowbells, congas, bongos, timbales, lots of percussive detail all the time. The brass and the reeds and the percussion, I think they all work together. It's such a rich listening experience.
So, Kevin, around this time, 1974, what's the musical landscape this album emerges from?
Eclectic. It's opened up. You have fusion, which is happening. You've still got Latin jazz, you've got African jazz, you've got all these different elements coming into the music. I mean, if you're talking about tenor saxophonists alone, you've got people like Joe Henderson, who are doing really great work using electric instruments alongside acoustic instruments. You've got the trumpeter Freddie Hubbard, who's doing similar things as well. And I think Gatto, what he's doing on this record, is roughly in line with that. So bringing some electric energy into the acoustic setting as well. You've got the electric piano played by Eddie Martinez, and also electric guitars on this record as well. And I think that gives it a little bit of a rock feel in places, which is important.
Well, we're going to steady things up now with this next track. There's a tango in it. There's a sense of melancholy. What are we going to hear?
We're going to hear Milonga Triste. Thank you.
Milonga Triste from Gatto Barbieri's Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata. Emiliano Zapata, who is he?
The great Mexican revolutionary and political hero for somebody like Gatto. Interestingly, the very first track that we played, La Podrida, that has a political reference as well. It's Argentinian slang for something rotten, which might mean a reference to the state, maybe what politicians are doing. It's also slang for a card game.
That's right. There are some great liner notes on the
By record. Nat Hentoff, absolutely, yeah. And he does an interview with Gatto and he talks about that, talks about the musical influences and also the political context for the music too.
What is that political context?
That political context is basically Gatto revealing more about his Argentinian roots and also his feelings for Latin America, actually saying this is a special part of the world which has culture, important historical figures that we have to recognize as well, like Zapata and others. And this is a part of the world which really should be right up there in terms of international culture. This is what this record is really about. It's an assertion of the richness of Latin America.
So why is this such an important recording for you?
For me personally, as I say, it was a discovery of Latin American music and Latin American jazz. And also, there was something about this big sound, this orchestral sound, which I know exactly why. I had seen Dizzy Gillespie's United Nations Orchestra on TV in the 80s. And then I bought this record and I've just felt that there was a connection between the two. This idea of having lots of people on stage or 17 people in a studio with a really, really great soloist. And obviously this is 1974, this is before Dizzy's United Nations Orchestra. Yet at the same time, this carries a lot of the spirit of Dizzy and Chico O'Farrell. So it sort of squares the circle in that way.
And it's very attractive music, isn't it?
It's so danceable, it's so accessible, yet at the same time, there is all of this detail. It's the perfect combination of something that you can dance to and then something that you can listen to again and again.
Where was it recorded?
It was recorded in New York with this combination, as we've been saying, of great Latin American and American players too. A kind of Pan-American special. That's a good way of describing this record.
We've not really spoken enough about Emiliano Zapata, but the last tune is dedicated to him.
It is, and it's such a barnstorming piece of dance music, something that I danced to a lot when I was a teenager, something that you would hear in clubs when people were playing Dizzy Gillespie's Manteca or a tune by Eddie Palmieri, the great salsa pianist. You would hear this tune drop as well, Viva Emiliano Zapata, and inevitably the dance floor would go a bit crazy. And for me, the great thing about this mambo groove that he's using is the fact that you have all of that percussion that we've been talking about and also the baritone saxophone. If you listen to the way that the baritone saxophone is playing these really busy lines around the tenor, that's enhancing the energy as well. Kind of listen to the horns, working with the percussion, creating these polyrhythms, really going for it, really giving you a very strong groove. You will be dancing around your living room.
Kevin, thank you so much for sharing your enthusiasm for this great album and for unearthing this absolute gem. Our final track is the title track of the album. The full title of the album is Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata, the subject of the whole album. Tenor saxophonist Gatto Barbieri from his 1974 album Chapter 3, Viva Emiliano Zapata, and the title track, Emiliano Zapata, ending this month's Now's the Time. I'm Julian Joseph, and you're listening to Jazz Lineup, and still to come, tonight's concert performance from British vocal heavyweight Ian Shaw, performing solo with his own unique and powerful take on some very well-chosen songs. Plus, we'll also hear from Kevin again in conversation with Ian. Shaw is one of the most charismatic vocalists on the UK jazz scene, who, over the last few decades, has drawn from a vast array of influences and repertoire, combining a sense of drama and humour. An accomplished pianist who's modest about his abilities, he accompanies with conviction and a consistent sense of energy for this special solo concert set. Recorded at the 2016 Gateshead International Jazz Festival on the 16th of April, Ian starts off his set with Leonard Cohen's Dance Me to the End of Love.
Hello. To your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm safely gathered in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my home a dove. Dance me to the end of love. Come on and dance me to the end of love. Let me see your beauty, now the witnesses are gone. Let me feel you moving like they did in Babylon. Show me slowly what I only know the limits of. Come on, dance me to the end of love. Come on and dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the wedding now. Dance me on and on. Dance me very tenderly, and dance me very long. We're both of us beneath our love, we're both of us above. Come on, dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the children who are asking to be born. Dance me through the curtains that our kisses have outworn. Raise a tent, a tender shelter now though every thread is born and torn. Dance me to the end of love. Come on and dance me to the end of love. Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm safely gathered in. Touch me with your naked hand or touch me with your glove. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end. Come on and dance me to the end of love.
So I'm backstage at the Sage Centre with the great Ian Shaw. Have you done many solo gigs?
Yeah, I do solo gigs, but it's a completely different flavour to how I perform with a band because there's no element of surprise because it's me on my own. So it kind of slots more into a cabaret thing, I suppose. It's good fun. It's all good.
So the repertoire this afternoon featured Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell and David Bowie. You did Life on Mars, which I think drew a huge round of applause from the audience. I mean, it's one of the iconic pop songs, full stop. We've just lost David Bowie, so it gives it that added edge, that added poignancy. And you worked with him.
I did. I did backing vocals. I depped for a team of people that were working with him. Some gigs in Holland, Germany, and a few in the north of England. In fact, we played in Newcastle, which is pretty much where we are now, Gateshead. Yeah, it was great fun. A gent, you know, a really lovely, lovely man, and very into music. You know, it was all about the music for him, really, and stories and connections with musicians. Really, really great. A huge loss, too young, yeah.
Do you think that's one of the reasons why jazz musicians like covering his work, because of the depth in it, the richness?
Yeah, and of course the last two albums are, you know, famously kind of plundered that pool of people that do like to improvise, even when they're doing a take in the studio. Not just his lyrics, but his harmonic language is rich. You know, it's not the Beatles, it's not the Beach Boys even. It's a different kind of language, and I love it.
It's a god-awful small affair to the girl with the mousy hair, and her mommy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen, so she walks through the sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view. She's hooked to the silver screen, but the film is a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. Tortured brow, but Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers have struck for fame, 'cause Lennon's on sale again. See the mice in their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clowns, but the film is saddening bore, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be read again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the lawmen beating up the wrong guy. Never know. He's in the best-selling show. It's the life on Mars.
Ian Shaw and his moving tribute to David Bowie. That was Life on Mars. Now let's rejoin Ian in conversation with Kevin Legendre.
We should also mention the fact that you did original compositions for this gig. I think the most affecting for the audience was Brother. Tell me about that song.
Well, I had a brother. My brother's about my brother who predeceased me by 2 years. So then I came along and he was called Gareth. And his shadow hung over the family in a bad way and in a good way. Because I always thought that, you know, had he lived, I wouldn't be here. But then that's very sort of weird and existential, isn't it? But and I work in a refugee camp, an unofficial refugee camp. I've done for the last 9-10 months. And I am called, they say, my brother to me. So I wrote, the song fitted everyone's idea of a locked door in the family, maybe. And there are many, many, many locked doors in Syrians, Afghans, Ethiopians, Eritreans, Sudanese, Kuwaiti, Iraq, Kurdish families, many, many locked doors, which are based on, a political mess, really. And they're looking for family all the time, or they're looking to go back to a family that maybe doesn't exist anymore. So that song seemed to... and it's a ringtone on many a refugee's phone, so they know that it's for them.
Why exactly did you want to get involved in the lives of these people at the jungle and make a contribution?
I can see the Calais Lighthouse from my bedroom in Kent. I live on the coast, near Dover. And I saw it on the telly, and I just thought, I believe what you're saying here. And I went over, and I was absolutely horrified with what I was witnessing on an hourly basis, but also very heartened by the fact that in one really concentrated space, in a rubbish dump, essentially, in France, where we get wine and cheese, it's just Croydon-on-Sea, really, that these people all looking after each other from different religious backgrounds, different countries, different kind of political dissonances, all looking out for each other. And I found that beyond heartening.
And do you feel a particular responsibility to actually talk about this at gigs?
I do, because it's amazing how many people don't even know what's there, and in Dunkirk as well, and Macedonia, and in Idomeni and Lesbos, all of them. It's just this kind of, we not all of us, but we get this kind of general, ooh, refugees, you know, immigrants, migrants.
There's a knee-jerk reaction, isn't there?
There is, and I think before, and you know, I can understand that too, and my sympathies do fall very neatly with the lorry drivers as well, you know, because they have a hard time as well. But these people are in a state of utter, utter suspended limbo. And they're educated, most of them. They're really deep, you know, people. And so are we. And we should at least not have them die around the corner, I think.
Just couldn't say my brother was there for us both anyway. My brother could have bought me a beer in a New York bar. He said, Ian, you've gone too far. Try to be the better man. My brother left a message for me. He left his land to be free. We're not all perfect, you see, my brother and me. My brother was torn from my father's side.
taught to tumble and fall. And when our father died, he gathered us in like birds in a nest. He did what he could. My brother always did his best. They say, like we all do one day, whatever the hell we believe. My brother left a message for me. He'd left his wife to be free. We're not all perfect, you see, my brother and me. My brother was torn. Too tall to tumble and fall. And when our father died, he gathered us in like birds in a nest. He did what he could. My brother always did his best. You're never alone. We're so sorry. You're never alone. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's your turn to sing. All you do is this. I'll show you. You just do this. This part of the room goes like this.
Come in.
2, 3, 4, 1. Middle. Come in. Together. 3, 2, 1. Rest of you.
Come in.
Or.
Come in.
Everybody together.
We used to dance a foot apart, and they honked at us from the sidelines, holding their rulers without a heart. And just with one touch of a finger, you can make the circuitry explode. And all I ever wanted was just to come in from the cold. Coming from the cold. Come in. All I ever wanted. Yeah. We really thought we had a purpose, anxious to achieve. We had hoped the world had promised a former slave to liberty. Freely we slaved away for things better. I was bought and I was sold. But all I ever wanted was just to come in from the cold. Come in. Coming from the cold. Come in.
Coming from the cold. Come in. Coming from the cold. I feel your leg under the table, leaning into mine. I feel renewed, I feel disabled, all by the bonfires on my spine. And I don't know who the incendiary was, which arsonist stole. But all I ever wanted was just to come in from the cold. Come in, coming from the cold. The cold. I know we never will be perfect,
never entirely clear. We get hurt and we panic, and then we strike out of fear. I feel the sentence of this solitude, 200 years on hold. But all I ever wanted was just to come in from the cold. Come in, come in, coming from the cold. Come in, come in, coming from the cold. Let's say, come in, come in, coming from the cold. And when I thought my life held some meaning, I thought I had some choice, I made some value judgments in a self-important voice. But then absurdity came over me, and I longed to lose control. All I ever wanted was just to come in from the cold. Come in, come in, coming from the cold. Come in, come, coming from the cold. Come in, come in, coming from the cold. Thank you so much, you've been wonderful, thank you. Have a wonderful festival. Thanks to everybody here. Coming from the cold. Coming, coming.
Ian Shaw ending his set there with some audience participation on Joni Mitchell's Come In From the Cold. That was recorded at the Gateshead International Jazz Festival. And for details of all the titles played on tonight's show, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Now, the talented US keyboardist Corey Henry has been enthralling UK audiences with his solo organ playing, full of soul, funk, groove and gospel. Many will be familiar with his work with the fusion supergroup Snarky Puppy, but this is what he does on He Has Made Me Glad, I Will Enter His Gates. Thank you. the sensational Corey Henry from his solo organ album The Revival, out on the Ground Up label. And another solo tour worth checking out starts tonight, and that features saxophonist Branford Marsalis, who plays the Bath Festival tonight, London's Union Chapel on the 23rd, and the Norwich and Norfolk Festival on the 24th. Well, that's almost the end of today's show. On next week's jazz lineup, music from Gregory Porter, plus a look ahead at the 2016 Montreux Jazz Festival. Remember, you can catch Jazz Now on Monday nights at 11 on BBC Radio 3. This week, Soweto Kinch presents the UK premiere of Julian Arguiles' suite of South African-inspired music with Steve Arguiles, Django Bates and the Frankfurt Radio Big Band at Cheltenham Jazz Festival. That's Monday night at 11. To end today, the sound of a brilliant American vocalist who had been given an ultimatum by her husband of 23 years to stop singing. So she started her professional music career at the age of 42 and never looked back. The album is called Sound of Red. It's on the Motema label. And this is If You Were Mine by Renee Marie. Till next time, bye-bye.
The first time I laid eyes on you, it came like a song to me. So here's some things that I would do if you belonged to me. If you were mine and I were yours, how different our dawns would be. We'd start each day with a morning kiss and fill our cups with quiet bliss. I promise, promise, promise you this if you were mine. If you were mine and I were yours, how different our days would be. I'll bring the sugar, you bring the spice. It'll be naughty but very nice. I promise, promise, promise you twice if you were mine. In spite of that spark we felt in the dark, we don't belong to each other, yet do we? Perhaps one day we will. And did I mention I'm setting an intention for you and me? Much as you would allow, won't just tell you I love you. I'm gonna show you how. I promise you right here and right now. If you were mine, oh! Thank you.
perched upon a star. Now you're right here beside me, so close but still so far. You make me think of kisses, things whispered in my ear. A piece of heaven this is. Don't let it disappear. But if you were mine and I were yours, how different our nights would be. Day in a warm embrace, explore some ways kisses can taste. I promise I'm not handing you a line. This is the way things would be if.
Yeah.
This is the way things would be if you. This is the way things would be if you.
If You Were Mine by René Marie, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. If you'd like more information on jazz lineup, go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. And there's more jazz here on BBC Radio 3 later at midnight with Geoffrey Smith, when he'll be recalling the days of bebop kings Dexter Gordon and Wardell Gray. And then, of course, next Saturday afternoon with jazz record requests from 4 and jazz lineup from 5.
Once upon a time, there was a maiden, that's me. The whole of Venice pitied her for her terrible father.
But what happened to Shylock's daughter, Jessica, after The Merchant of Venice?
She had to get out. There was only one way. She'd find a prince to come to her rescue.
What happened with your father? It was rather funny, wasn't it, darling? Not tragic.
Yes. Somewhere within this good Lamb of God beats a heart that still remembers what it was to be a Jew in Venice. Nothing seems one quarter part as funny now as it did even 2 days ago. How strange.
The Wolf in the Water. Tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
And now, Opera on Three, which tonight is Wagner's Tannhäuser, recorded earlier this month at Covent Garden. Here's Donald MacLeod.
An evening of great music-making is what lies ahead of us, a performance of Wagner's opera about the epic struggle between flesh and spirit, about a man in conflict with himself and with the operatic thrill of a song contest, Wagner's mythological drama Tannhäuser. It was probably Wagner's most popular opera in his lifetime, but now it's a relative rarity compared to the others, not least on account of its infernally taxing title woe. In this revival at the Royal Opera House Covent Garden of Till Marbury's award-winning production, first seen here in 2010, the tenor Peter Seyfert is taking on that Herculean challenge, torn between his lust for the goddess Venus, sung by the soprano Sophie Koch, and his love for the chaste Elizabeth, the soprano Emma Bell. Reprising the role of Wolfram von Eschenbach, for which he won an Olivier Award in that first run of performances, is the baritone Christian Gerhaher. The role of the Landgrave, Hermann, is sung by the bass, Stephen Milling. The Royal Opera Chorus, chorus master Renato Balsadonna, and the orchestra of the Royal Opera House, leader Anya Safonova, are conducted by Hartmut Hentchen. Tannhäuser has acquired the reputation of being something of a problem opera, with its binary opposites of saint and sinner, Madonna and whore, love and sex, flesh and spirit, damnation and redemption, the artist versus society. What Wagner presents us with is his own highly personal amalgam of a number of medieval myths and legends in different versions. The backstory of the tortured singer Heinrich Tannhäuser is that he was so furious and frustrated that his talents weren't appreciated in his home, the deeply conservative world of the Wartburg, that he's turned his back on it and fled to the sensually indulgent realm of the Venusberg, presided over by the goddess Venus herself. Well, you'll find photographs of the production and a synopsis of the plot on the opera on three pages of the Radio 3 website. In Tim Albury's production, with set designs by Michael Levine and costumes by John Morell, the Venusberg is represented by the sensuous, indulgent world of an opera house. Not just any opera house, but Covent Garden itself, where Venus presides as the ultimate sultry prima donna. Tim Albury.
We've taken the view that, like a lot of Wagner operas, this is not a realistic story, but it's a sort of dream or a myth or a discussion of ideas seen through the head of the main character and the two different women that he is involved in. And those women are archetypes, one representing sensuality, the other representing the spiritual.